Boy, listen to that.
Holy smokes.
You've got your own intro now.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you. Wow.
Welcome to the family, Jill.
I am so honored. Thank you.
That's good to know. Well, anyway, here is Jill checking the blog. Well, you know, that was good. That was kind of, I kind of like that, actually. So, you know, if you feel honored, we'll send you a copy if you'd like it.
I need to make it my ringtone.
I don't think so. Nice try, though. That was good. That was very flattering. So what might be going on? I suppose the one thing that you have at JillOnMoney.com, the blog, where there are all kinds of tools and podcasts and everything else in the world, is that, you know, we are getting to that. Well, here it is, January 27th, pretty soon. If you haven't gotten your W-2, you have to by the end of the month, right?
That's right. Tax season officially opens today. Can you believe it?
God.
You see, that reaction right there is actually how I started my blog post.
Really?
I said, tax season opens on January 27th, which
means
there's another opportunity to vent about how much you hate this time of year.
I do. It's really grim.
You know what? Look, it's going to be easier than last year. Let's start there.
Okay, good.
Because last year was the first year of the new tax law.
Okay.
So this is the second year, and not a lot has changed.
Okay.
So some of the brackets are different. Some of the credits are different, you know, meaning that the IRS makes inflation adjustments to the tax code every year. So that's the big difference. There are three major things just to keep in mind. No longer would you have to file any forms if you didn't carry health insurance. The Affordable Care Act's individual mandate is gone.
Okay.
Right? So that's done. You don't have to file any forms.
Okay.
Let's see. Out-of-pocket medical expenses.
Yes.
Still have to have, if you want to claim any deduction, you have to make sure that it's more than 7.5% of your adjusted gross income. That was supposed to go to 10%.
Okay.
But it's not. how about the people who are getting divorced or got divorced?
Oh, boy. What's that all about?
Well, if you got divorced or separated and it was final after 2018, so at some point last year your divorce was final.
Okay.
Alimony payments are not deductible anymore, but alimony payments are also not taxable income if you receive it. So if you were divorced prior to 2019, the old rules apply.
Now, if you're getting an alimony payment, however, do you have to report that at all?
You have to if you got divorced before January 1st, 2019.
Okay.
Now you don't have to.
Okay.
So it's a wash.
But does it count as income?
Does not count as income, cannot be claimed
as
a deduction either. So both sides of the divorce rules have changed.
So
but that's only
neutral.
If you got divorced last year in 2019.
What about this year?
Well, anytime after 2019.
Oh, good. Okay. That's good to keep that in the back of my mind.
Can I just remind everybody
yes, please.
That about 100 million Americans can actually file for free using free IRS software. It's called Free File. Anyone who earns $69,000 or less, that's estimated to be 100 million people, you get to file for free. So don't pay up for any of these services.
Oh, yeah. Why?
It's free. It's free. Did I mention that it's free?
Was it free, Jill? It'd be nice
you know
if
what
it was
happened?
Free.
Let me tell you something. It has been free, but there was a big investigation by ProPublica last year, which found that some of the big tax companies suppressed the fact that many people who were paying for tax services could have gotten it for free. So that's not cool. And the IRS called them out on it.
How many people file on paper?
Oh, my God. A teeny tiny amount. So let's see.
Really?
There's supposedly 150 million taxpayers are going to file. And right now, fewer than 20% file by paper. And the reason is very clear, by the way. You make more errors when you do it by paper.
Really?
Well,
I have an accountant who doesn't, so I don't, you know.
Well, what do you care?
They file it electronically, though. I mean, that's what they do.
Scammers are out, my man. The scammers are out. Email, texting, social media, phishing scams. The IRS does not initiate contact with any taxpayer by email, text, or social media. So if you get something that looks weird, do not click on it.
Okay. Well, even the phone. I mean, I don't think they can call you, can they?
Well, look, I mean, certainly they could call you if you're in the middle of a longer negotiation with them. Yeah. But generally speaking, letters and phone calls, this is a big scam that's happened starting the last couple of years. An IRS, a so-called IRS person. So it sounds like someone, hello, I'm calling. You've got an overdue tax bill. Okay. That's what they'll tell you. Yeah. And they say, we want you to make a payment. And I love the IRS says, the IRS does not make threatening phone calls, nor does the IRS request payment via a gift card or a debit card.
Oh, geez.
Wants to remind you of that.
Well, I'll just give you a nice restaurant card. I'll send that to you guys, and you can use it. Jeez.
Yeah.
Louise.
Listen, check out my blog post. I got a lot of stuff there. Plus,
I know what I'm seeing it.
And what's really important is lots of resources that are available. So it's important stuff. Look, I don't want anyone to take this lightly because these scams are real. They do tend to work best for people who are older, who are not familiar with idea of phishing. And also people where English is not your first language or you recently come to the United States or you're a recent citizen and you're just paying taxes, you get a call that sounds like it's from an agency, you're freaked out. So don't just take a breath. If you're at all uncertain, hang up the phone.
Okay.
You can always go to the IRS website.
Yep.
You can check and see if you owe money or not.
Oh boy.
But please do not fall for this.
Hey, Jill, one thing you do mention as you scroll down is tax preparation resources. And we do a lot of stuff with United Way and so others. Volunteer income tax assistance. So they will help you do your taxes, usually college students, but who knows, volunteers, accountants, whatever. It sure makes it easier. I mean, really, there's an income limit.
Yeah, the VITA program is for folks who make generally $56,000 or less. There's also the tax counseling for the elderly program, the TCE. That helps people. I will say the IRS website is incredibly rich in information.
Really?
It's a really good website. So if you make less than $69,000 and you're going to do free file, it will walk you through everything you really need to know.
One other thing that goes on with the VITA program is like a lot of the people there are lower income, so you qualify for the EITC.
Yeah.
And a lot of people neglect to claim that. But the fact is, you got to check. It's a savings account if you choose to use it that way.
Oh, yeah. Completely. And by the way, it doesn't matter because if you are trying to claim the EITC and you don't – if you're on the IRS website, it would sort of automatically pre-populate that for you. And that's really important.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
All right. And you also have – do we need – I remember this from – I think it was the 80s, the REIT, the Real Estate Investment Trust. Yeah, you got a little stuff on there too. Those have been
– got everything.
What?
I got everything on there.
Come on. You do. That's why you need to go. And you also need to listen every Saturday afternoon from 4 until 6. Jill, thank you much.
Great to be with you. Love my new theme music. Thanks, Sales.
You'll hear it again next week, 6:28.